This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The president's planning to charge the banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Investors are sifting through some key economic reports, and the cell phone as quite the donation box. All that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up by a fraction of a percent. The NASDAQ up a quarter of a percent right now. The Dow ahead by 10 points at 10,691. European markets are up as well, under half a percent. And Asian shares closed mostly higher today as well. The Hang Seng lost a little ground today, just a fraction of a percent there. A little later this morning, President Obama is set to propose a new fee to big banks to help recoup some of the money the government bailed them out with. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago this morning. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So this fee, we're hearing it could raise more than $100 billion. It would cover the losses from the troubled asset relief program. Is it a good idea?
Well, be careful what you wish for, because as we exert the fees on banks, which have already begun to pay back the TARP much more rapidly than other TARP recipients like GM and the AIG Corporation, that fee could be passed on to consumers. And, you know, this is something we already saw with consumer protection laws. It made credit harder, not easier to get.
Is there a risk, Diane, that, you know, that these fees would be passed on to consumers? I mean, you know, we talk about lending. I mean, would it constrict lending maybe not to consumers?
At this stage of the game, there's no doubt that it could. And I think, you know, we have to be very cautious how we go forward, because well-intended policies, given what we've gone through, can often come up with ill-intended consequences, especially in election year when the politicians are looking more to appeal to the populace than making good long-term decisions.
And coming up, the Congressional Oversight Panel takes a look at how the government can end the TARP. We're going to talk with Elizabeth Warren in just a few moments. Diane, back to you. This morning's economic news, weaker than expected. Jobless claims up, retail sales down. I mean, have those of us, and I'm the optimist here, thinking, you know, yeah, let's get this economy going again. I mean, are we being a little too optimistic?
No, the economy is in recovery. The problem is the recovery is subpar, and certainly nothing, not enough to offset the depth of the extraordinary recession we just went through. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to remain subpar for some time to come. The good is there's hope that we are in recovery. The bad news is recoveries are just regaining ground lost, and it was a deep hole we dug.
All right. Diane Swonk in Chicago. Diane, thanks.
Thank you.
Relief efforts continue to pour into Haiti after Tuesday's catastrophic earthquake there. Here at home, cell phones are proving effective at raising money for those in need. Marketplace's Sam Eaton has more.
Cell phone users have so far donated more than $3 million to relief organizations like the Red Cross just by sending text messages. And with the help of Twitter and social networking sites like Facebook, these efforts have gone viral, making this the largest mobile phone giving campaign in history. Tony Aiello is CEO of mgive.com, which is providing the mobile service to Red Cross free of charge. And he says it's so successful because in the age of social networking and 24-hour news, it allows people to donate on impulse.
They may have heard it while they were sitting in an airport waiting to get on a plane or over at a friend's house. And the one thing they pretty much always have is the mobile phone with them. So it's a quick and easy way for them to respond.
But it's not without downsides. The money typically takes about 90 days to reach the organization you donated to, and it also paves the way for fraudulent campaigns. So it's important to make sure the organization you're donating to is also legitimate. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Well, people trying to use those phones to call Port-au-Prince haven't been able to get through. Reporter Sally Herships talked with members of New York's Little Haiti community about their frustrations and their concerns in trying to do something. Anything.
Well, I can't send money if I don't know if they're going to know if I send the money. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know who's alive, who's not alive, what happened.
Yes, I have my little brother in Haiti.
And have you heard from him?
Not yet. There's no communication, not yet. I was supposed to send him some money today. We spoke on Saturday. I said to him, I will send him some money today.
I mean, you know, you have family in Haiti. You send money on a regular basis, like almost every month. Even if you don't have families there, then, you know, you're concerned. You want to send money. You want to bring your participation. You're concerned. It's your country.
So we don't send money to Haiti, it's going to be a disaster. So we care about our family. That's why we send money every month for people who are living over there to survive and everything. You know what I mean?
That was Peter Bouchon, Jean-Mario Bellier, Eden Marcel, and Charles Relutzen. Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, January 14, 2010, at marketplace.org. The long-running drama to take over British candy maker Cadbury could be entering its final act. There are reports Hershey is preparing a bid as a counteroffer to the $16 billion currently on the table from Kraft. And today, Britain's business minister is meeting with financial heavyweights to take a closer look at Kraft's unwanted takeover offer. We're going to get the latest now from Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard, who is with us from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what's the government's view on Kraft taking over Cadbury?
Well, the business secretary has been critical of Kraft's bid. He has to choose his words carefully. He doesn't want to create the impression that foreign takeover bids are in themselves unwelcome. The UK remains an open economy. But today, he's going to be telling a group of British bankers and investors, you've got to do more to protect British companies from unwanted takeover bids. And this bid by Kraft is not wanted by the Cadbury board, who say it's too low, and it's not wanted by the workers. Unite, the UK's largest union, says thousands of British jobs could be lost if Kraft gets Cadbury.
So, all right, we have Hershey preparing an offer. What difference could that make?
Well, it's likely to be unwelcome to the Cadbury workers again. As far as the shareholders are concerned, that depends how much they offer. Hershey, of course, had been talking about a consortium bid with the Italian candy maker Ferrero. Ferrero has pulled out. Now it's reported that Hershey could go it alone with their own bid. Of course, they have nothing like the resources of Kraft. They'd need the help of private equity firms. But they'll have to be quick anyway.
This is like a big soap opera. What's the likely timetable for all of this, Stephen?
Well, Kraft has until next Tuesday to improve its offer, and if it's going to, and Cadbury shareholders are scheduled to vote on Kraft's bid on February the 2nd. So the end of this long-running saga could indeed be in sight.
All right. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard with us live from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Something investors are keeping an eye on today, the tally of properties hit with foreclosure notices last year. A report from RealtyTrack says December marked the 10th straight month with more than 300,000 filings. And as Marketplace's Bob Moon tells us, the numbers for the full year are even more jaw-dropping.
Even as he allows that foreclosure numbers have been mounting for months and shouldn't come as a surprise, RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga still sounds amazed.
Some of these numbers are unprecedented. 10% of the households in Nevada were in some stage of foreclosure over the past year. That number is simply unprecedented as far back as these numbers can be tracked.
Sharga says property foreclosures across the country in 2009 added up to a new record, 2.8 million.
You wind up with 2.2% of all the households in the country receiving a foreclosure notice over the course of the year.
And he worries even that doesn't give a true picture of how bad it really is.
The numbers probably would have been significantly worse. The unfortunate reality is in most cases, the programs to slow down the foreclosure tsunami really aren't preventing foreclosures as much as they're just delaying foreclosures.
Sharga offers little hope for any improvement soon, with more loans on the verge of resetting to higher interest rates in the months ahead. I'm Bob Moon from Marketplace.
Google's threat to pull out of China is raising some questions about other American companies doing business there. It's nothing new to hear complaints about government meddling and inadequate legal protections. But do Google's actions signal a stronger reformist wind blowing in from the West? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Whatever its policies on censorship, China's legal protections for foreign companies are much better than they used to be. But Gary Huffbauer of the Peterson Institute for International Economics says there are still big hurdles.
The entertainment companies, they've had endless trouble with piracy. We thought we had some understandings on opening banks, insurance business, selling mutual funds, and so forth. Lots and lots of obstacles are thrown in their way.
Huffbauer says U.S. companies don't usually air these problems in public. They work behind the scenes to get a better deal. He doesn't think many will now follow Google's lead and complain in public. But there have been recent hacker attacks and corporate espionage against U.S. companies. If it turns out the Chinese government is involved, Huffbauer says there could be a backlash.
That's pretty damaging for China's reputation as a good place to do business.
Critics of China are urging more American technology companies to leave. They point out some of the censorship and surveillance software the government is using comes from the U.S. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Congressional Oversight Panel on the Troubled Asset Relief Program has a new report for the new year. The TARP is expected to be phased out this year, but in today's report, auditors are raising concerns about how the government intends to do just that. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the panel. She's with us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So if this report is a look ahead at TARP, I mean, how then do we figure the government puts this program to rest? And, but also the idea of too big to fail. Is that forever ingrained in the financial system now?
Well, you've really put your finger on it, because this is going to be a tough program to put to rest. Even after we get repaid the money, if we ever get repaid the money, that has been lent out under TARP, we're going to have the lingering memory of the fact that the U.S. government was willing to shovel hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars in, basically to rescue a handful of very large financial institutions.
So how do we fix that? How do we stop them from getting so big?
We have a couple of options. You could break them up. You could decide to tax them. You could decide to regulate them more heavily. Or you can use sort of the far end of it and say, we're going to change the basic rules about bankruptcy and liquidation so that it is possible to break them up if they get into financial trouble and to liquidate them.
Well, when all of this was sort of being hammered out in, what was it, September of 08, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it?
you think it seems like 100 years ago to you? You haven't been down in Washington doing this.
Well, you know, the original purpose going in was about toxic assets, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We were talking about getting rid of toxic assets, and all of a sudden, you know, here we are a year and a half later, and we're still dealing with toxic assets. That hasn't been discussed. I mean, why?
Well, this is one of the things that's most deeply troubling about this bailout. But the underlying issues, the problems that brought us to the brink of collapse, have not yet been resolved. It seems to me that we still face a lot of fragility and a lot of risk. And we got to start changing some rules here. We got to start dealing with these big financial institutions, and we need to do it now.
Professor Elizabeth Warren, chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, just about everything inside the bankrupt Tavern on the Green restaurant in New York is up for auction. The Central Park entrance sign sold for $5,000, a chandelier, $15,000. There's another restaurant going in, but a judge must still decide whether it can pay a little green to use the famous tavern name. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.